Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.
But I think one thing a PTA would say would be that, especially today, that there's too many stereotype kind of things. You know, olive oil is put in the female stupid situation all the time, where she can only have a man with muscles defend her, and muscles is the way. And
well, that's hard to comment on as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you have established characters now. What are you going to do, change them after 44 years? Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I'm writing a story now with the touch of women's lib in it.
Oh, really?
In other words, it's Wimpy has a ball team called the Birmingham Burgers. And Popeye and Bluto are teammates on this ball mm-hmm. club. So Olive Oil shows up, and she wants to play on the team. And Bluto, of course, objects to females playing in the male game. Mm-hmm. So there's the conflict mm-hmm. there.
Yes.
So Popeye is assigned by Wimpy to help Olive Oil out or try her out for all the various positions on the team. Mm-hmm. Which he does, but Bluto, unobserved or surreptitiously, tries to screw Popeye up in Olive's eyes, so she doesn't want him to help her anymore, and she turns to Bluto, who offers his help to her. But in the meantime, he's screwing her up worse each time he does something. And then Popeye, who has been shunned by Olive Oil, tries to go to her rescue. And eventually, Bluto throws a fastball at Popeye, who's catching behind the plate as Olive Oil is trying to hit the ball, you know. So Bluto gets a jet ball, and he really zings it in there, and he knocks Popeye out of the position, and he winds up with his cleats stuck in a board, you know, and he's sort of stuck or trapped, you might say. But in the meantime, when he hits the board, his spinach falls out, rolls over towards the plate. So Bluto, now figuring that Popeye's out of the way, he starts zinging in fast ones at Olive Oil. He dares her to hit them, you know. In other words, he's not trying to hurt her, but he says, I'll see if I want to hit these fastballs. He's throwing them like heck, you know. So Popeye takes out the ball that he had caught from Bluto, and he throws it and hits the spinach can, and it pops it open and goes in Olive's mouth. So then she, so she takes the bat and she starts, you know, hitting these balls that Bluto's thrown, thinks that nobody can hit him. She hits them back at Bluto, and he starts ducking and dodging, and she drives him out of the stadium. You know, all these balls are ricocheting all around him, not hurting him, you see. This is what you have to be careful of. I mean, some gag. Now, in the old days, I'd have had him, you know, catching him in his mouth and, you know, it'd be all full of balls and everything. Uh-huh. Well, that's a bad statement to make. Anyway, then Olive runs over and pulls Popeye's cleats out of where he's stuck in the signboard there that they usually have around the mm-hmm. perimeter. And of course, Wimpy comes over and hands Olive a contract to sign to play on the team. So that is the way I handle that. I don't know whether that's good or not, but they've accepted it over there so far. Now, all the gags you see have to be engineered so that nobody's hurt anymore. Mm-hmm. See, it's permissible for Bluto to throw the ball because he's not actually throwing it to hit anybody. Popeye's protected with all the gear on and everything else, so he actually catches the ball without it hurting him. Mm-hmm. But you couldn't, in the old days, you know, the ball would go in and break his mask, and mm-hmm. he'd wind up in a horrible mess in the place. Mm-hmm. And go, ugh, you know, oh my gosh. So, the one type of gag I could tell you that, is this thing going?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know whether I should waste all this time in the story.
No.
But I mean, this is a sample of what I was trying to do to comply with some of the popular stories that they might accept today. or the subjects, I mm-hmm. should say. One of the gags is that Bluto smokes up Olive Oil's glasses and sends her out in the outfield to catch a fly ball. You know, so he hits a fly ball and he goes, "All right, go get the ball." You know, so Olive goes, "I got it, I can't, I got it, I can't see." She's running around in the field with these dark glasses on, and she's headed for the stands. Well, Polly says, "Oh my gosh!" And he runs to the stands just before she's going to collide with him. And he picks up the whole section, you know. He catches the ball in one hand, puts the ball in her glove, you know, to make it appear as though she caught it. She says, I got it. And she runs out of the scene. Well, now Popeye's standing there with the stand up in the air, and so Bluto's burned up about the fact that he straightened the thing out and made Olive look good. So he picks up the AstroTurf, and he pulls the rug out from under Popeye, you might say, and the whole stand's come down on Popeye. And his head sticks out from under a seat, of course. He says, "Well, I always did like to watch the game from the bleach, because," you know, and now, you see, you can't show that he was hurt, and he makes a comedic remark to cover up the whole situation. You can't have him yelling and, you know, acting like he was hurt in any way. And nobody's been hurt there.
Can I take a few steps backwards and... That bit of time when you weren't working with Fleischer, you left Fleischer, and how soon was it that King Features picked it up? How many years was there a distance?
I'm a little confused there. Do you mean...
After you left Fleischer, you were not doing Popeye for a while, but then...
Well, that was it.
And then...
That was it. See, that... They actually, Fleischer was famous when they came back to New York, and they closed up, and that was it. And the time there that I was out of work, naturally I looked around for voice work and everything else, you know, and I wound up doing some Coco stories, which wasn't a very long period.
Well, so the ones at the end were really much cheaper then, because I thought they were done by a different company.
They were. They were. Everybody worked on them for King Features. Jack Kinney was producing them. I don't remember. I don't know whether Harmon, he was working for Harmon or not. But they distributed a certain amount to the Berry Studios. We also did some. That's the way it worked.
And so at that
so
time,
after
that's when you started writing them. That's when you started writing them. Right.
No, I had written
all along?
Years ago.
Huh.
And when I started to do the Popeye stories, I then went into the story department after a very short period.
I see.
And I worked from just being a gag man up to writing stories, and I wrote them from then on.
I see.
And I was in the story department, basically. And I would be called out to do the voices.
I see.
So I was, you know, it was a constant thing there. Yeah.
What were some of the favorite ones that you can remember through the years that you had written? Some of the stories.
You know, now that's
some
another
some
thing.
Some of the situations. Roller coasters and there were.
Well, I can't. To me, they were all sort of in the same category. In the
they
same
all
category.
All melted down to a hodgepodge.
One great big Popeye story. You know what I mean?
I can understand.
You know, what could you say? There was one story I thought was good. I didn't write it, actually, but they did it over several times. It was where Olive Oil became a nurse in a hospital, and Popeye and Bluto wanted to hurt themselves so they can get in the hospital to have Olive take care of her. Mm-hmm. So they both competed with each other, you know, one laid down on the railroad track to get hurt. He said, "Oh boy, this is gonna leak," you know.
Yeah,
so the other guy come over, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna get hurt first," you know. So they competed trying to get in the hospital. I thought that was a funny situation.
I remember that one.
Yeah. Did you like that one?
Yeah. That was a favorite one.
Well, now you see that, I mean, today they would probably consider that violent. Not, to me, it's funny, I don't know. I don't know whether kids take these things seriously enough to emulate them or not, but they always claim they do. Mm-hmm. For instance, they used to do some Superman pictures, and they had to be very careful with those years ago, mm-hmm. even. Because they said kids used to put on a red tablecloth and stand up in the window and start to jump out, you know, flapping the wings, mm-hmm. figuring they were going to fly. I'm Superman! Is it a bird, a plane, or, you know? Mm-hmm. No, it's a hospital case. You fall out the window. Come after him. Well,
I had just thought that there was a kind of a period of years where Popeye was picked up later again, almost like this Hanna-Barbera thing was
happening. Well, this is it.
Yeah, now it's being picked up again.
Yeah.
So how many years has it been since you've done it to where you're now doing it for Hanna-Barbera?
About 16, I guess.
About 16 years. Mm-hmm. And what have you done all those years?
Commercials and industrial films. Uh-huh. I did a lot of stuff for King Features. They have some kind of a gimmick for instructing children in classes in certain subjects, and they used Popeye as a sort of a commentator along with another character, mm-hmm. and they would describe these things, you know, they have these little screens and things that they showed pictures on, mm-hmm. for kids, mm-hmm. and as the pictures are shown, the Popeye and some other character would describe it, mm-hmm. and get them interested in the subject, mm-hmm. by having their favorite, I would say, cartoon character be involved in it. There were a lot of those. And as I said, I did an industrial film for the police on the traffic, mm-hmm. for teaching children how to cross the street and ride their bicycles and all that sort, mm-hmm. of thing. There's been a lot of those.
Mm-hmm. Have you always been based in New York, you know, ever since you were moved there?
Yeah.
For Popeye.
Yeah.
Have you
stayed, well, except for always Florida.
Have you always stayed in the same kind of... Yeah. You have a home or an apartment?
I have an apartment.
Uh-huh.
We have a place in Jersey that we...
Vacation home, kind of?
Sort of. Well, it's a year-round place, but we only use it in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And very pleasant there. It's up in the mountains. Very nice. Picturesque place.
How were you contacted to do the Hanna-Barbera? Was it William Hanna or Joe Barbera that called you? Or
we read it in the paper. My wife saw it in Variety or something.
But they were going to bring it back.
So she called Hanna-Barbera and said that I would be available if they were interested. And of course, this was Art Scott that, mm-hmm. She called. She, mm-hmm. His name was mentioned as having been, or being one of the producers. So, he said, well, we were thinking about calling it, you know, which I don't know whether that was true or not. But he said that they were auditioning people out here, you see. So he said, well, you'd have to audition for this job, you know. So my wife says, you mean to say he'd have to audition for his own voice, Popeye voice? He says, well, that's the traditional thing. So we said, all right, you send us a script and I'll send you a tape back, which I did. And they played it and everybody was enthused about the job that I did and said my voice sounded the same as it always did.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the job. But I'm just wondering whether that would have occurred if Virginia, my wife's Virginia, hadn't have
yes.
gotten in touch with them.
Yes.
They might have been happy with whoever they got to do it out here. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that they thought that that May's voice was sounding too old.
Well,
is that right?
That's what they said, so I don't want to comment on that.
Yeah, you know, dangerous territory.
Well, you know, this is a small world, right? And you can run into a lot of these people from time to time. And I don't care to have somebody hit me over the head with a full shopping bag, you know, saying, what did you say about me? I ain't heard much, you know. And I don't think I would care to run into anybody that has said something disparaging about me. Mm-hmm. So, tit for tat.
Yeah. I was in Faith Heckman's office. She's the director of children's programming for CBS.
Well, we have a rapport together. You know, she passes on all my stories.
She passes?
Well, she's a critique.
Oh, yes.
As
oh,
long
yes.
as Goldman.
When I was interviewing her that day, a Popeye script came in, a storyboard.
Yeah.
And she was actually changing the whole storyboard around.
Oh, sure. I mean, there's been one problem with having the stories passed in time. I mean, they're all complaining about the time it takes. They have to go over all these things mm-hmm. and comply with their wishes. And as I said before, it's very difficult to write these things now without the violence in it, because that's the typical mm-hmm. Popeye character of mm-hmm. the whole thing. And as I say, you almost have to write two stories, mm-hmm. one of them with the violence, and then you clean it up, as they've been remarking, cleaning it up balance. I don't know what that sounds like, more cleaning up the dirt in it or something, you know. But that's the expression they've been using. And as I say, that to try to keep excitement in there, like that one gag I explained to you. And there's a very good chance that they might turn that one down for some reason. I don't know.
Well, they know that they have these PTA groups that they're throwing.
I'm not blaming them. Yeah. I'm quite sure that they're aware of the possibility of a future condemnation of the mm-hmm. violent films. And perhaps they might go a little further later on, you know, and being able to stop all violence as far as children are concerned. Did you hear that? Well, I won't. That has nothing to do with this. There was a comedian on the air that had a record on Dirty Words and his fellow
called George Carlin, yes.
I mean, there's an example mm-hmm. right there of how nitpicking they get.
Yeah.
Now, as far as I'm concerned, if he'd heard that, he could have turned it off.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I approve necessarily of exploiting all these mm-hmm. dirty words and all, but it seems to be the trend today. You go to a movie, and if you haven't heard any dirty words, well, you'll be knowledgeable with all anything mm-hmm. you haven't heard before.
Or just turn the television on. Yeah.
Right.
With all the new sex shows.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I think they're competing in a way, it seems to me, you know. The people that are on television, they figure, geez, look at this stuff they're seeing in the movie. They're, mm-hmm. they're dragging all the people away from the set. We better put a few zingers in here, you know. So they put a few zingers in, and somebody complains about the movies, and that they can't go take any kids to the movies anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a Disney picture.
What's it like working with the new Olive Oil? Does she remind you a lot of May? Does she sound similar to her?
Well, not exactly. You know, May had a sort of a New Yorkish accent, which I don't believe this girl has, but I mean, she's doing a good job, so. I mean, there's always changes can be made. I mean, they can even get another Popeye as far as that goes, you mm-hmm. know. And who would know the difference?
How many cartoons have you done so far?
Well, I think we've done about around 40 or so.
Oh, really? You're working about the same pace as you did with
Not when I first started, because the stories are not coming in now. We never did that many, except for the King Features.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they had that bunch going out, they brought in people from the coast to record. So naturally, that one trip, they tried to jam in as many recordings as mm-hmm. they could. So we would do about 7 or 8 or something like that, mm-hmm. a session. Excuse me. I think the last group we did, there were about 9. My tongue was hanging out mm-hmm. to my knees after that session. You know, I could have spent a couple of days for a rest in the hospital mm-hmm. after that. Mm-hmm. But they really were really pouring it on. I didn't have a chance to really look at the scripts or any, you know. I mean, you had to get one after another. It was just kept going.
I hear they're kind of making an honest effort to kind of copy the same old style.
That's true. As far as the animation is concerned,
Well, they have you.
They call what they call, well, they haven't got the other two, so I don't know whether you consider that not carrying out the the plan of having it all sound like, or the looking of it, I see. They have changed the outfit on Popeye. He's, see, the last ones had a white sailor suit on. So now they've got a blue jacket and white trousers, I believe, and but they retained the old sailor, not the his original sailor hat, but the same hat he's been wearing along with the white suit. I don't know what they call it. It's a little pancake type hat, you know. Popeye had the regular captain's cap with a beak on it for through the years. So they got rid of that.
Well, how long do you think this is going to continue now? Are you almost wrapped up with this? Are they going to, you say you made 40, but are they going to make
well, there were
about 60, and then they're going to release them and see how they go?
I would assume that's their plan. I don't see how they can make any more, you know, they wouldn't go any further than that. They had planned to do about 64. Now this is, there'd be 48 6.5 minute films and 16 11 minute films, which they call longies. And they have another series that would go along with that to fill up the hour, which is, I'm not familiar with the whole title of something about Dinky. I guess you familiar with that. This is a huge dog. And he will be shown in with this show. And it seems as though this is a plan they have to introduce other shows in with a popular or mother series, as it were, to have a showcase for others. Now, if they happen to go over, they might spin them off their own series and then introduce another one into that.
The dog Scooby-Doo, is that?
No, no, that's their Mickey Mouse, Scooby-Doo.
Oh, I see.
According to Art Scott, he always remarks about that if somebody asks him what was their main character. The Flintstones would be another.
Yogi Bear, Huckleberry Hound.
Well, he mentioned Scooby-Doo as being the bread and butter film. I wouldn't
think that myself.
That's, well, perhaps the ratings, I don't know.
Could be.
They're still going. I don't think they have many Flintstones on at this time, actually, as much as they're repeating Scooby-Doos. So, you can't quote me on that. I'm not.
Do you watch cartoons in the afternoon?
Well, I have been now since I'm working again, but I didn't even watch the King Features stuff. After they were done.
Why? You just didn't?
I don't know. I thought maybe I'd be afraid I'd
wouldn't
find too many mistakes in it or something, you know.
But now you're beginning to watch them.
Well, only for reference.
I watch the old Popeye on Tom Hatton's show.
Yeah, I've watched several of those.
Those are particularly the nice ones.
Yeah. And it's surprising. I mean, they don't look too bad or too old as far as I'm concerned.
They don't.
I mean, there's where that universal comedy, I think, comes in. I mean, it's an accepted thing, it seems to me, ageless, you might say. I don't know whether anybody'd ever get tired of seeing that type of comedy, although they seem to get some slapstick comedy in the feature pictures now. Do they not?
Yeah.
You know, like this Burt Reynolds,
right.
The End,
right.
And all those
right.
are. And Mel Brooks, he has a heck of a lot of old time comedy bits in there. I think I can remember a lot of them that I've seen before. But they might dress them up a little bit, you know. But the pies are Sara Lee's now instead of Mother Allen's or something.
Being here in California, do you think you'd like to move here someday if Hanna-Barbera continues?
Well, you mean to work for Hanna-Barbera or just to move here?
Just to move here.
Well, it's a possibility, as they say.
Because it's quite a bit of a difference. So.
I sort of haven't made up my mind whether I would care to go someplace that's a little warmer or something like that. I understand that San Diego has a little warmer climb. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, I was very surprised at the weather here, the change during the day. In the evening, it's very cool to mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had this air conditioner on except for you. I usually try to keep it around 70 or something like that, because at night this won't go on unless the temperature drops, so mm-hmm. I don't, you know, it isn't uh-huh. too warm. But I sort of look forward to a nice, warm, you know, tropical type.
You can turn that off. I'm fine.
Oh,
well. You're a little cold. Go ahead and
well,
turn
I feel off. Kind of a little chilly now.
Well, turn that off then. Yeah.
If you don't mind.
No, not at all.
I don't know why. I guess, you know, affects me. I won't turn the heat on.
What do you like to do with your spare time, you know, to get away from Popeye? What have you done all these years? Do you have any hobbies or?
Oh, well, I'm nothing, I want to say not too physical. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of magic. I have a lot of tricks that I do.
Where do you do this magic? For friends?
Yeah, just for friends. I don't appear any place.
Are you very sociable? Do you have many friends?
No.
The friends you have are kind of close-knit friends you've had for a long
more
time.
Less. Yeah, I don't
see them every once in a while.
I don't mix very well, I guess. Uh-huh. I don't know, because I don't like the. I'm always having to perform or something, you know. You know, it's like
do Popeye, yeah.
Do that, or mm-hmm. you know, bring your fiddle when you come. You know, play for your supper, mm-hmm. type of thing.
does it look like Hanna-Barbera is going to be putting out some albums as well?
There's been no mention of anything uh-huh. except maybe a special for Valentine's Day. They might. They've been talking about that for a long time, but other than that, there's been no mention of anything else.
Do you still send Christmas cards to May?
Oh, yeah. She sent me one, but she sends me one that is like a publicity card, you know, with all her carriages and stuff. One of those things. And a lot of these people, like Jackson Beck, used to do Bluto. Mm-hmm. He's a very well-known radio actor. Mm-hmm. In the old days, he did, you know, what the heck were some of those old shows? There's a Gannett.
Caught him in midair?
Hmm?
Did you catch him?
I don't know. He was so small, I guess I thought I got him. I have these little dark things that go around in my eye, you know, and I confuse them with gnats, or gnats with the spots in there. So sometimes I go like that, you know, and it's just in my eye. Every once in a while I see something go, whoop, and I look around, there's nothing there. That time there was a real one.
Oh. You were mentioning the guy who just blew toe.
The guy used to, you know, go to Jesus, just sock him. That's not sacrilegious, is it?
Are you religious?
Not very, no.
No, I never have been.
I don't object going to church if, you know, if somebody else wants to, but what was that you were going to say?
You were talking about Bluto. He was a radio.
Yeah, well, he's an avid what am I going to say? Oh, isn't that awful? He was the president of the union, Actors Union, and very involved in all that stuff. So we used to exchange Christmas cards, but all of a sudden he quit. So I think maybe it got too expensive for him, you know. Sometimes they get up to about 500 cards, especially with all these actors that he knows. So I said, you know, you asked me if May sent me a card. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, he
so you haven't,
used
you
to.
Haven't, yeah, but you haven't been in touch with him since then.
No.
Yeah. And do you know where he is right
He's
now?
He's in New York.
He's in New York.
As far as I know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I suppose he travels back and forth between mm-hmm. New York and the unions out here. Mm-hmm. But he's been a vice president and president, you know, involved very deeply in the union.
You could easily get on programs like Mike Douglas. Do you not want to? Is that why you've
not been... particularly, no. I mean,
have they approached you at all?
No. I don't know whether they will or not. I don't know whether I would refuse or not, but I'd have to make sure.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned
what I was going to do or something like that.
To tell the truth, was there any others you can think of along that line?
Oh.
You never did.
I was interviewed on radio quite a few times, but over the phones and things like that, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't.
But you never did any parades or anything like that?
Oh, gosh, no. They had that Popeye balloon there in New York for mm-hmm. a number of years, and all of a sudden, they had so many patches on it, they had to retire it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So at that point, King Features wanted me to go to the park, Central Park, and be. They had one of these animation thing. I don't know whether you're familiar with it or not. I forgot what they call it. But there's a man stands behind there, and he can work figures.
Oh yes, yes. Uh-huh.
What the heck was
animatronics or something?
Animatronics or something.
Something, yeah.
Anyway, we had. I spent I don't know how many hours writing up material and all that stuff to appear there, and with children coming up and asking questions, and I would mm-hmm. have to answer them, ad lib stuff, off the cuff stuff. But that never went through. I mean, a lot of people dream up a lot of stuff, but it never goes through,
Yeah.
Everything, a heck of a lot of speculation that you're offered all mm-hmm. the time, As a matter of fact, when I just happen to remember now when Paramount was about ready to shut up, I think Wynn Sharples and some Eddie Fay at Paramount wanted to put on an actual Popeye show. Mm-hmm. And we went through that bit, writing, and I wrote a heck of a lot of stuff. We had all sorts of characters they getting involved with, animated, but it was something like they're doing now,
Mm-hmm.
But that fell through. He would have animated animals and things that he talked to, on his ship.
Mm-hmm.
Something like a Sesame Street. That was a little ahead of us.
I wish I could get you to expand. It seems fascinating to me that you were able to write these things, because they were so clever. I mean, the ideas were so clever. The subtleties and the little in-between lines, the ad-libbing.
How does anybody go about getting ideas and things? It's a mystery to me. I don't know. It just comes to me. That's mm-hmm. all. It's a matter of concentration. I guess if you get an idea or a little premise of some kind, then you try to figure out now, how can I further this situation by getting funny pieces of business? What would be funny in this spot that would fit the character? In other words, you have to know the character, actually.
When you're walking around in an everyday situation, like at a shopping center or something, do you ever feel yourself as kind of a Popeye character?
No.
No.
It's
something completely different from you.
That's an acting
uh-huh.
job. I mean, if that were the case, I think they'd put me in the booby hatch. I'm afraid that's what the other guy used to do.
Yeah.
He'd dress up at the drop of a hat,
Uh-huh.
And go around and perform and everything else, You didn't have to urge him to do anything. As a matter of fact, my wife's cousin as a doctor, and we visited him in his hospital he had in Philadelphia someplace. So he mentioned the fact that this guy Welch had showed up there to entertain
oh, really?
The patients. And mm-hmm. he was going on at a great rate, like he was Popeye, and he did it for, you know, so many years and whatnot. So, of course, a cousin said, look, you're full of, you know what? Because he says, my wife's husband does the voice of Popeye. So, where do you get off taking credit for all this stuff? So he sort of backed off. But I don't think it deterred him. And he just went right on.
Mm-hmm.
Kept on figuring, well, who's going to know? This guy's not going to tell everybody about it. So, I don't know. I'm a little sensitive about things like that, as I think I have the right to be.
Mm-hmm.
Since that's my shtick, as they say. And it's pretty tough to, without any publicity or anything else, to have any claim on it, you see. So.
We've been rambling on about all different kinds of things. And
yeah.
I just want to get on some of those more simpler questions. We won't have to get into all the details in the book, but are there certain things here that we haven't covered upon? I mean, with all this writing here, are there?
I don't believe so. I mean, you went through most of my career, I guess, as you want to call it. I only have things that I've written, you know, lists of the various stories, series that I've written, you know, which I don't imagine would be very...
Yes, can you just mention, can you read those off to me? Because I don't have to get a copy then.
No, Ross, I wrote most every type of story that they ever had. We were always handed a script to do when we weren't doing Popeyes. Mm-hmm. And I've written screen songs, Betty Boops, Grampy's, Casper, the Friendly Ghost, Herman and Catnip, Baby Huey, Little Lulu, Little Audrey,
those
novel
songs
tunes.
Or the songs themselves?
These aren't songs.
Uh-huh. You wrote the scripts.
These are the cartoon series.
Uh-huh. And you wrote, like, you wrote...
I have written songs in some of the cartoons that were where it was required. I've written lyrics and songs.
Like Casper the Friendly Ghost, you wrote...
I didn't write the song for that, no. They had writers.
But you wrote a few of the cartoons shows, or...
I'm mentioning the cartoon shows that I wrote.
Uh-huh.
But the songs aren't.
But what I'm trying to define is you wrote just a few of the cartoons, or you wrote all of them?
I didn't write all of them. Uh-huh. No, they were divided up. Uh-huh. But what I'm getting at is these are the ones that I was involved with, mm-hmm. as far as I have written stories on all of these series. And mm-hmm. Novel tunes, they were various, individual stories, anything that would come up. There were gremlins. We wrote some gremlin stories mm-hmm. at one time. And say these were all sorts of stories, which I couldn't begin to remember all the mm-hmm. variations on it. No.
Did you mention all that stuff? And I have so much of that at home always.
Yeah.
Casper. Casper, you mentioned.
I have done incidental voices in most of these.
I got about 9 Casper's dolls and statues.
Oh yeah.
2 Casper games. 4 cups. Mm. Just to give you an idea.
Yeah. We had a tough time with the ghosts in many instances, because due to the situation, sometimes we would want Casper to walk through something, and the next time he couldn't get through something, you know, to give a little suspense here and there. So it was always the question, should he walk through or this point? And then somebody said, well, geez, he can walk through the door. Why can't he walk through the barrel? Well, in this case, you know, and there would be no explanation about it, but they just do it anyway, you know. And there's really problems came up on that score.
I see.
Now, this Herman and Catnip was finally developed from something that Jack Ward and I created in Florida, and it was a henpecked husband, which was a rooster, mm-hmm. and a little mouse that was always giving him advice, you know, what to do with the old woman, you know, the old hen. And it finally wound up with Herman and Catnip. they retained the Herman character and added a cat to it, you know, to continue it on.
I know the series,
Yeah. Well, I wrote a lot of those. Those were fun to write. Because the Herman would get all the other mice in a spot someplace, you know, like he'd go to Hawaii or something to get on a freight train, and the cat would be, he'd be a hobo underneath and he'd hear all these guys under there. So Herman then would have to pull gags on the cat to get rid of him, stuff like that. And I don't know what else to say about it. We did a lot of these two-reelers. I don't know whether you're familiar with that or not. Popeye Meets Sinbad.
Yes, I've seen that.
Aladdin's
one.
Lamp. Well, then the sea, you know, have to...
Yeah. Alibaba and the 40 Thieves.
Right.
I remember Gulliver's Travels. Mm-hmm. You did incidental kind of characters in that.
Right. And naturally, we supplied some of the material for that. We all divided up on that, you know, because it was a big feature picture. Mm-hmm. So every once in a while, some of us would go in and supply gags and things to that particular spot where they were having trouble. And then we'd go back to our regular assigned stories.
I see, you know, Terry Toon's here. Did you know Paul Terry?
No, I didn't. I only, Mathis, what's the hell was it? Tom Masterson or something like that his name was the story man that I saw there. He's passed away now, too.
There were 455 Popeyes.
Yeah, 454 Popeyes, and it took 25 years for the first 234 Popeyes, and 2 years to produce the 220 for TV, if that's of any interest to you, I don't know. And that went up in about 1962.
The first color Popeye was Popeye Meets... Sinbad. I should have had this material, but I couldn't find that book anywhere.
Well, mine is in New York, so I don't know. I assume when I first came here, somebody said that that was their Bible for the Fleischer Studio. Mm-hmm. So maybe someone at Hanna-Barbera might have it for you.
Well, I just saw it in the bookstores not that long ago. Oh. You know, so they just must have sold them out.
Well, it could be actually just two books. That wouldn't take long to sell out, if you know what I mean.
Right.
I don't imagine they'd have a whole warehouse full of those things that would be sold out right away. It doesn't seem possible. So,
we just about got everything then.
I can't think of any significant thing. When you start asking me stuff that was done over 40 years ago, I'm at a loss. You know, I can't retain any of that stuff. As a matter of fact, I don't know how I'm coming up with these stories now. I figured that there wasn't anything left. No, but maybe just this little bit difference of the violence suggests maybe some other angles.
Some new ideas.
Angles, maybe not new ideas, but a little different angle on each one, which might help a bit. And figuring them out. Now, I don't mean this for publication or anything, but you want to cut that tape off and the thing. It's very difficult to, you know, find props and things that'll work for you.
Without getting all violent and with, you know.
Yeah, well.
Because you know you're going to be hacked down in Faith Heckman's office.
Now I say they could have objected to Popeye winding up in the cannon. But as long as he doesn't make any take and his head is sticking out, so it doesn't, you can see that he's unharmed, why, you might get away with it. And some of them are pretty, you know, right on the line. You know, they might object to him being stuck in the cannon. It's hard. As a matter of fact, when I said something about the dynamite, she says, you make sure that the box is empty, and that there's no possible way that the goat could ever get any of this dynamite. And I said, oh yeah, that's the whole gag. Popeye just thinks he's full of dynamite. She says, well, you'll have to make sure that the audience will realize that. You know, so you begin to think, oh, geez, now I got it. Then you got to go back and figure, well, now how can I put that over that will be acceptable, you know? That Popeye would see it and the goat didn't mm-hmm. get it. And the...
It's challenging.
It is a challenge.
Yeah.
And you think Nixon had trouble.
Are you into politics at all?
No. Politics and religion and all that stuff. I don't get mixed up in any of that.
Yeah.
Because that only leads to trouble.
I brought some.
That's why I said to you, when I did that gag, I was taking a chance on whether you were would object to it.
Or no, not at all.
I'm pretty much
the same way.
It's only
a
gag, right?
I'm not really. If I were to be into politics, I guess I would be pretty much a liberal. Religion, I've never been into religion.
Politics to me, I mean, they do so many darn things that I object to that I just can't stand it half the time. For our benefits, you know what I mean? If they were all honest and intended nothing but for our benefit, why, it'd be all right. But it always seems like they have to play the game, as it were, you know? And one guy will do something in order to get a favor from the other guy. You know, it isn't just clean cut for your benefits. They all have to get involved some way. So that's why I don't like to get involved myself.
Something else I'm curious about. Coming from New York, do you drive a car?
Oh, sure.
Because I know a lot of people would.
I'm driving one out here, even.
Did you?
I've been on the highways and the byways.
Yeah.
You see, that's one thing I was going to say. I'm not too familiar with the areas mm-hmm. yet, so I didn't know where you might suggest some place to go that I wouldn't know how to get there.
So I
figured you'd be more familiar here.
Yeah, I'm used to going everywhere on a freeway. Yeah. I put about 100,000 miles in my car each year, and
that's good.
I'm about 45 minutes away, but. Yeah. That's if there's absolutely no traffic.
Well, now that's
the traffic's what did it.
That's one thing that I would be perturbed about. I mean, I don't like to get stuck someplace, and being a stranger here, mm-hmm. and I carry that book with me wherever I go with the addresses of Hanna-Barbera and people I know, so in case I do get in a spot, why I'd have some communication or something. Mm-hmm. Okay, is that thing still going?
Yeah, it's all right.
Well, maybe you better. I mean, this isn't to be commented on, is it?
Well, we're just about, I think, through with the interview, and I'll just. I brought these. Do these ring a bell anywhere in your head? Have you seen these pictures before?
Not that I know of.
They're from a little, kind of like a golden book, and it's like 1954, and they're just really, really nice drawings, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to find any kind of, pictures. This particular one I like. That's when you're flustered.
Oh, yeah. Those arms look rather bigger than I think they usually are.
Usually are. I don't think
they're
this was a...
kind of balloonish.
This was just an illustrator, for uh-huh. one of those books. His own.
You know, there's various types of Popeyes. For instance, this is more typical of the strip Popeye.
Oh, really?
You see the flatness of it. Now, in animation, they made them more bulbous, mm-hmm. rounder forms, I think, for the better animation.
Hmm.
That'd be rather difficult to animate, especially if you turn his head. You know, most of the time it's three-quarter view. Excuse me. So, as I said, the Popeye that's used is more of a round shape.
Now, you do the...
I'm not criticizing.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to see
mm-hmm.
the difference in these things.
You do the voice for Wimpy also.
I did, but they've changed it.
Yeah, now Dawes Butler does it.
They...
did you coach him at all on...
No, because he's doing a W.C. Fields.
Oh, a different kind, yeah.
Yeah. So I was off. See, they objected to imitations at Paramount, so it was very difficult to create all these voices, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't give me any time to do it anyway, so mm-hmm. they just handed you something and said, do this and do that. But all of these fellows, I'm not criticizing this either, but I'm saying that a lot of their voice work is based on characterizations of well-known voices.
Yes.
I mean, you probably noticed uh-huh. that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, since my voice was probably not distinctive enough for their purposes,
mm-hmm.
they preferred to have it sound like W.C. Fields, which was close to it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'd gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today, was the way I did it.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're doing it on W.C. Fields thing. It gave a little more character, which I thought was all right. Although I figured maybe I would do it, but that's the way the cookie crumbles.
That's fun to hear you do that. Could you do a Popeye for me?
Well, I'd be glad to. What do you want me to say? I am what I am, and that's all what I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. You want me to do it on that? Oh, you got it on there, right?
That's beautiful, yeah. See, you wouldn't think that would come out of your voice, because that is pretty heavy sounding.
Well, it's a, I guess you'd call it a trick. I don't know.
Yeah. I do with my puppet shows, I have a dragon that I do, and he's, oh yeah, he's kind of talking like that all the time, you know?
Yeah, rock boys, I don't like that.
Yeah, and he can get sensitive, even though he has, do you know what? You know, that's almost like that one that the Sesame Street does.
Oh yeah, the guy on the garbage can?
Well, not, that's
isn't he kind of perfect type?
The other guy, the one I like, is the one that goes, hey, you know what? He kind of talks like that. You know the one I'm talking about?
No, I haven't seen much of that.
Oh, Sesame Street is great.
Yeah. That isn't Big Bird, is it?
No, Big Bird, I don't
it's like another that. One, huh?
Yeah. This story was where Olive and... And Wimpy get, you know, lost in a storm in the ocean, and you throw an anchor to save them. Of course, that's after you eat your Popeye. I mean, after you eat your spinach.
Oh. Yeah, now that's the old Fleischer. You see that, what I was referring to is more of a bulbous round thing, which is better for animation than that flattened out thing. And you'll notice the arms aren't quite as bulbous, as I said.
Yes.
And the legs either. They sort of more conform with the size of the head, more mm-hmm. or less, you know? About the same point. These things are tremendous in comparison.
Uh-huh.
Sort of grotesque, I would say. But I'm, you know...
Well, you're lucky you don't have that same problem, Jack.
Jeep, he resents Popeye. He's telling the old man he's too old.
Mm-hmm.
So he disappears at many times. He helps the old man, and he screws Popeye up on everything he attempts.
How is Pappy different than Popeye, is it?
Well, I just do him with an old voice, you know, like that. I hate relatives. Well, it doesn't matter. You saw the Popeyes here in amongst things. I had a whole... Oh, maybe I'm coming to it now. There they are. Now, they made the arms rather large, I think. And I haven't seen the results of these things, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that isn't... I didn't know whether you'd be interested in just seeing
sure.
their model.
Sure, thank you for sharing that with me.
I thought maybe, I don't know whether you'd be interested. These are the storyboards, the way I sketch them up. Now these were, of course, Xeroxed. See how that pencil comes out? It's tremendous. It looks like ink.
Now, you sketch these out?
Yeah, these are... You have to sketch a storyboard, you know. This one was a recent one.
That's great.
This, steeple chases ups and downs. England. And you open up Popeye. She's making him move the piano around, you know. She says, I think it'll look better over there. And he says, okay, I'll... So he shoves the sofa on. He says, nobody can says I can't carry the tune.
Yeah, do it. Do it as your voice.
Hmm? I just did.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody says I can't carry the tune. There we go. And then, there you are, Olive. So Olive says, on second thought, Papa, I'd like it better over here. So he picks the piano up and he starts walking to the other end of the room and the doorbell rings. So she says, special delivery for Miss Oil. I said, oh, thank you. So she gets this letter, says that she's inherited a racehorse named Tea Biscuit from an uncle in England. So his dying wish was for Tea Biscuit to win the steeplechase, and please claim your inheritance as soon as possible. Well, Popeye's still holding the piano. He says, I'll need your help to carry out my uncle's wish, so drop everything, go home and pack. She says, we're going to England. So he says, oh boy, now gets to see all them performing animals in Piccadilly Circus. So he drops the piano, and when he does, it animates it playing. And he walks out with a doo-da, doo-da, puts me money on a bobtail nag, somebody bets on the bay. So he walks out, and they wind up at ups and downs. And she says, oh, isn't this wonderful? And he says, yeah, let's go to the stables and find Tea Biscuit. So here's Bluto as a jockey. And he's a cockney. He says, no, still atrocious. I'm going to give you a nice rub down with this cactus. So to show how tough the horse is, sort of similar to him. So he takes the cactus and he's scratching the horse's back. And he goes, he likes it, you know. So she says, pardon me, Mr. Jockey, can you tell me where I can find my horse Tea Biscuit? He says, yes, miss, you'll find that reject from a glue factory right in that bad luck stall number 13. So they go to stall 13. She says, there he is. So he drags out this bunch of bones. Horse and he says, come on, Tea Biscuit. That is, if he can make it. She says, oh, Popeye, isn't he beautiful? He's going to be a real winner. He says, I wouldn't bet on it. So she said, let's give him a trial run and I'll clock his time. So he gets on the track. She's ready. They cut to these guys. He says, he doesn't belong in the steeplechase. He belongs in the Chamber of Horrors. So she says, get set. And all of a sudden you hear, horsefly buzzes around Tea Biscuit's rear. And he lands on his back. And he makes a four-point, landing, and he scrooges up his skin. Well, that annoys him, see? So he takes his tail and swats him. This burns the horsefly up, and he takes off in a fit of anger. So you see him, you know, yeah, hovering above, and he gnashing his teeth. So she finally cut back to her. She says, go! So just as she says that, when the fly comes, zooms down, and hits him in the behind. So he goes up and he takes off, and like a shot. And then you cut to a shot, and he's going around the track, jumping over the hurdles like a bat out of hell. And he swishes by these two, and he says, blimey. So you cut back to Olive. She says, oh, he ran the course in record time and never missed a jump. So the guy rushes over and plops himself down in the water trough to cool off the wounds. So Olive comes in and she says, hurry, Popeye, we've got to get him ready for the steeplechase. He says, if we expect to win this race, we've got to pull the props out from under that plug. It's an atrocity. He gives him a, you know, vicious laugh. I shouldn't say vicious, pardon me. Yeah. Anyway, you cut to the jockey's gym and you see him. They got him exercising, you know. I keep that going, Popeye. We got to keep those leg muscles limber. You cut to him, and he says, why, dear? So he sneaks in the other room with a wrench, and he removes the bolts from the board that's holding up the weights, and you see a double shot. They're both working like hell. And him removing the bolts and the horse exercising. He runs out, and then you cut back to him. He says, "Come on, T-Biscuit, both legs at the same time now." So he's straining, and you cut, and you see this thing starting to loosen up. You cut back to them laughing. So he bends over in a strained position, and the board flies off of there and hits them in the stomach outside, and it drives them back up against this post here. Now you see how what happens. This thing winds around them, and it just ties in a knot. So all you can do is just, "Blimey, I'm fit to be tied." That's about all you see, rather than hurting him, I just tie him up. Now you cut back and he's got him in a steam cabin. He says, "Okay, I'll have to get twins on the steam now," which she does. "It's not Popeye." So he leaves him and he says, "No, I'll be back soon to see what's cooking." So you cut to him looking in and he says, "Coast is clear." So he goes over and he turns the steam up to danger. You cut back and this guy starts to perspire and get melting, and then you see the water running off. He goes down and down and down. Olive comes in with the towels. She says, "Here's some nice fresh towels for you, T-Biscuit." She notices there's nobody there, you know. So she calls, "Popeye, come quick, T-Biscuit's gone." He says, comes out, wherever you are. So he comes out all shriveled up from the steam, you know. Oh my gosh, he's dehydrated. "Gets me the fire hose quick, Olive. He has to re-moisturize him." You cut back to him, he says, "That ought to bloody well cut him down to size." So you cut to her and she brings the hose and he puts a nipple on it and feeds the little guy with the, you know, he says, "Turn on the water." So he starts to, you know, fill up back to normal size with the water, and he pulls the hose out, and the stream shoots off stage, and it's there laughing while the stream hits them and drives them away from the window. And he says, "You can turn it off now, Lala." So you cut back out there and they're all soaking wet and his uniform starts to shrink up. And, "Oh, my suit is shrinking." Of course, they cut this out. It sounds vicious to animals. You know, mm-hmm. Unkind to him. But I had the last, you know, and he gets into two big blobs here. Anyhow, now this is where I made a correction here. I had just a two-horse race. I had it with a lot of horses in it, you know. I figured I better cut it down because it'd be too much
animation.
Or also interference and having to cut back to a lot of horses running around because they stall around in the race, you know, them bull gang. He says, "Hey, small fry, what dog pound did you get him from?" So he goes on, he sneaks out from under the front and he goes off stage while they're under the... And you cut back, and this is where that goes after this crowd shot. In other words, you see the crowd, and then you see him sneak out. He goes over to a car, and he pulls an inner tube out of a spare, and he attaches it to the front of Popeye's stall, and he sneaks out. And when the bell rings, they're off, you know. The gate opens, and he's running against the tube. And it stretches as far as it'll go, and then it retracts and zings them back out of through the gate and into the area, paddock area. Mm-hmm. And they wind up in a whole big bunch of hay bales of hay. And they come out the other end, and Popeye's sticking out one end and the horse out the other. So it makes it look like a bale of hay horse. And they're bucking and trying to get loose, you know, like a bucking bronco. So they work out onto the track, and everybody's laughing. "What kind of an horse is that?" You know. She comes in with the snippers and breaks the wires. She says, "Stop this horsing around. We have to win a race." So they break out of this thing, and Popeye jumps up on the horse, and they take off. So he sees, and he says, "That blighter's bailed out of the bailey and is back in the race. Get going." And they zip out of the scene. You cut to him now, and he's Horseshoe Magnus come in handy, he says. He's got Horseshoe Magnus. So he throws him out on the track. Then he comes over here where Atrocious is standing, and he's got a box that says electric eel on it. And he says, put that electric eel in the water, which the horse does. You see the electric eel, crickling, crackling. He drops in the water, and then you see him pushing a steel plate out in front of the hedge. So T-Biscuit comes along, and of course the magnet's attached to his feet. And they keep continue on and cuts ahead where he steps on this plate and it stops him dead. He goes this way and it throws Popeye off into the, over the edge into the water. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden he comes up with the electric eel is wrapped around him getting the shock. So Popeye takes his pipe and he blows the smoke in his face and this guy starts coughing. He has to let go and he takes off. And you see these guys are standing here off the side laughing like and the seal runs into them and they turn into a neon sign. They go and Popeye now gets in a position where he jacks up the horse, loosening him from the magnets, and he jumps on him and takes off. Now you cut to a shot where Bluto's dressing up the horse. You lure him over to the edge and I'll spray him with this tranquilizer. So he's got the wig on, he's putting the makeup on atrocious. So he walks out.
And they let the tranquilizer part go by.
Huh? Yeah, I didn't say a word about it because he's not using it, mm-hmm. really. I didn't say dope him or anything. Mm-hmm. So tranquilizer is what they use on animals, mm-hmm. isn't that true?
Yeah.
Well, except I made a spray can out of it. See, I could have made a dart gun out of it, but that would have been different.
Mm-hmm.
See the difference in the way they'll accept something and they mm-hmm. won't?
Yeah.
So Bluto continues, and he'll be in dreamland for the rest of the race. So you see T-Biscuit coming along now, and all of a sudden he throws on the brakes. Because then you cut to what he sees, you know. He's standing over there with the garter on the leg and all dressed, and he's making with the eyelashes like this. So T-Biscuit runs over, and, you know, he's following, and he turns and starts walking towards the hedge to get him over to the hedge where the other guy can give them the tranquilizer.
Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.